And welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is a great half hour ahead. We have a very special guest joining us here in the studio. And the question today is, does your faith need defending? In this day and age where there's such a spotlight that has been placed upon faith and religion and people who are confused about what is Christianity and what do Christians believe, are you prepared to share what you believe and be able to defend it? I am Randy Carlson, and welcome to the Intentional Living Center. There's a passage in the New Testament. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, where Peter says to us very clearly that we are always to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but to do this with, by the way, gentleness and respect. I appreciate that being in there, because so often in a world where we feel like we need to defend what we believe, unfortunately, many people as Christians, we don't do it with gentleness and respect. We do it with anger and hostility, and that ought not be. And coming up in just a moment, we have a very special guest who has... In fact, he's one of the most well-known champions of defending our faith, Dr. J.P. Moreland. And he recently sat down with our own Steve Tanner, senior producer for Intentional Living, to talk about being intentional as we defend our faith. And that's going to be coming up here in just a moment. And I think you'll find it very practical today. If you have a comment on this, how do you defend your faith? We'd love to hear it. You can share it on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Or join the discussion online when you go to theintentionallife.com. Steve and Dr. Moreland will be coming up here in just a minute.
The best thing that anyone can do is give your testimony. Tell them what you were like before you put your faith in Christ, how you put your faith in Christ, and now how you are today as a result of trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the assurance you have. And you can use scriptures like Romans 10, 9, and 10, of course, John 3, 16. Let them know that you know you're going to heaven with Philippians 3, 20. Our citizenship is in heaven. And your assurance, 2 Timothy 1, 12. I know whom I believe and am persuaded he's able to keep that, which I committed to him until that day.
That's right, just telling your story. But what about when you struggle to tell your story? What about when people ask you questions you don't know how to answer? What about when you have to defend your faith? Hi there, I'm Steve Tanner, senior producer for Intentional Living. Thank you, Dr. Randy, for the opportunity you've given me as I get to talk to a guy that I've recently come to know through his books, through his website, and through a conference that he'll be appearing at really soon, and we'll tell you a bit more about that here coming up in just a bit. But he is Dr. J.P. Moreland. Dr. J.P. Moreland is a distinguished professor of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology at Biola University in California, author of many, many books, well over 30 books, speaker, and focusing in on the area, many areas. But what we'd like to really dig into today, Dr. Moreland, is Christian apologetics and spiritual formation. So first of all, Dr. J.P. Moreland, thank you for your time today.
I'm delighted to be with you, Steve.
When we talk about the whole idea of apologetics, I mean, a lot of people hear that word apologetics and they think, okay, we're apologizing for our faith. Can you unpack what apologetics really is before we get started here?
Sure. First of all, apologetics is primarily a ministry of caring for people. It's an attempt to help and care and pastor people, but it does so in a very specific area. It tries to help people with their doubts or their intellectual questions about Christianity, and it is an attempt to help them either come to faith by ministering to them, by giving them answers to their questions, or to help people who are already in the faith grow by overcoming these barriers. So in the New Testament, it's apologetics is actually a word that translates the word defense, or to defend. And the idea is to, you know, it's like you defend a client in court. Well, if people have charges against Christianity or questions, we try to defend as best we can. But I think we need to keep in mind that the context isn't to be defensive or to be argumentative, But really, it's a ministry of pastoral care.
Is that something that we really can defend? Can we defend our faith? Hebrews 11 calls it, it's relating to things that are unseen. How do we defend that?
Yes. Well, one simple example. Science regularly makes inference to things that can't be seen, because that explains the things we can see best. So nobody's ever really seen an electron, but there are a whole bunch of things that we know happen that we can see, and so we postulate if there's this unseen thing called an electron, we can explain this data. Same thing with God. We see all kinds of design in the world. We discover, lo and behold, that the universe hasn't been here forever. It began to exist. We discover that is an absolute moral law, and we wonder, where in the world did that come from? And if we postulate an unseen thing that explains it, and that would be a supreme being, then we're not doing anything different than what the scientist does. If he postulates a magnetic field to explain why iron filings are arranged in a certain way. By the way, no one has ever seen a magnetic field. You can't see, touch, taste, smell, or hear a magnetic field. What you can see are the effects of the field. We infer the field from the effects, and we do the same with God in many ways.
Now, and I think sometimes maybe the stumbling block for many is to equate unseen with unknown.
Oh, absolutely. That's an excellent, excellent point. I mean, for example, my consciousness, you know, right now I'm having thoughts and, you know, getting in my age, I've got a feeling of pain in my knee and so on. I can't see my consciousness. I've never seen one of my thoughts. I can't see what a pain looks like. I have a desire for lunch later on today. I can't see that, but I can be aware of them. How do I become aware of them? By just introspecting. And all of a sudden, if I'm paying attention to what's going on inside of me, I'm aware of them, even though I can't see them. And in the same way, there are times when people have been aware of God himself. In worship, there have been many times where God himself has, showed up. I've become aware he's there. Other times I haven't. Maybe it's because I'm dull-hearted. I don't know. But there certainly are times when I have. And in those moments, I'm aware of God, even though I can't see him. So that's a very real point that you just made, that not seeing doesn't by any means not knowing.
Well, Dr. J.P. Moreland is our guest today here on Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. J.P., we need to take a quick break here. I want to get into the question when we come back about why it's so important that we be intentional regarding defending our faith, regarding having that ready answer, as Peter talks about. You're going to be part of a conference coming to the Tucson area. We have information about that on the website as well on the highlights page. I'm Steve Tanner for Intentional Living. More with Dr. Moreland coming up.
I'm living my life through Christ, and I battle every day because my husband's not saved. I just thank God for everything that he's given me. You know, I am trying to raise my kids knowing Christ, and, you know, it's hard with my husband not being saved, but I wake up every day and ask God to give me another chance to get it right, and I just pray and hope that one day my husband will see things through God's eyes.
Well, you know, I think that's one very important reminder as we think about defending our faith on today's program intentionally. We are not the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not our job to get someone saved, or it's not our job to convince someone that what we believe is true, because we live by faith. Let's face it. And a lot of the world doesn't. At least they don't have faith. They have faith, but they don't realize the faith they have is in themselves or in a world system and not in the creator of the universe. And if we truly believe what the Scripture teaches, we know it is by grace through faith that we're saved and not of ourselves. You can't convince someone or force someone to know Christ. So pray for them, just like that comment we just heard. Pray for them and let the Holy Spirit of God do his work in their lives. All right, let's get back to Steve, who has our special guest here in the studio a few days ago that he talked to on the program about intentionally defending our faith. So take it away, Steve.
Thank you so much, Dr. Randy. Speaking with Dr. J.P. Moreland, he's Distinguished Professor of Philosophy at Talbot School of Theology. His areas of expertise include philosophy of mind, theological and philosophical anthropology. Christian apologetics is one that we're camping out on a little bit today and talking a bit about the defense of faith. But J.P., regarding defending the faith, why this program is called Intentional Living. It's all about pleasing Christ. It's all about we'll use Ephesians 5:10 from the Message paraphrase that says, figure out what will please Christ and then do it. So why is defending the faith something about which we need to be so intentional?
Yes. Well, there are less than 5% of the people in Europe that are pleasing Christ, compared to 100 years ago when there was a huge percentage. In other words, Europe has become secular, and there aren't very many believers there. Why did that happen? Because they did not become intentional about apologetics. Now, what do I mean? The school system in Europe started teaching ideas that were atheistic. They taught that the material world was all there is, that science could solve all questions, and we don't need God, that morality is relative and everything, and things of that sort. Well, after you hear that on the news at night, you read it in the newspaper, it colors your TV and programs and movies, and that's what's taught from K to 12 and then in the university system, you start absorbing that. And after a while, you just are either a very lukewarm Christian that may believe in some kind of God and Jesus was special in some way, or you become an agnostic and atheist altogether. That's what's happened to Europe. But the problem has been that Christians have not been prepared to be intentional about trying to help people understand the way Christianity is being represented in the university and in the newspaper and so on really isn't true, that we have a lot more to say than they think we do. Since we didn't do it in Europe, we don't have too many people practicing intentional spiritual growth. I don't want that to happen to the United States.
But most of us are not you. We don't have the teaching, the training, the pedigree that you do, the time for research that you do. We're not all theologians. How do we, in a practical sense, defend our faith? I mean, how do we handle it with our elevator speech? How do we handle it at the grocery store and at the T-ball parents meeting?
Yes. There are two things that we need to do. The first one is to realize that we're a body and that there are some of us that are meant to be called to this more full-time, while others don't have that calling because of gifting. That means that in the church, we need to be on the lookout for bright young people who could be called to go into this kind of work and lay hands on them and say, you're gifted to help defend the faith. We want you to set aside the summer and go to a conference and read and study and learn. We could look for adults in our churches that like this kind of thing. There are always people. And encourage them to study and perhaps have a Sunday school class on this, or be the go-to person when our kids are getting hammered about evolution in high school. They can go to old Sam over there. He'll help you. Mom and Dad can't help you, but Sam, he'll get coffee with you and he'll help you. So first thing we can do is we can encourage those who are gifted and called and cheer for them and showcase them and use them. The second thing is we can all get a little bit better at this. Only some people have the gift of evangelism, but we all have the privilege to do it. And those who don't have the gift should at least try to get a little better at it. So what that means is a person could read a book on it, make a goal the next year to just read a very simple book on this, on how do you answer questions and have conversations with people. And a book that's very tailored for that is a book that I wrote with a guy named Tim Uhlhoff called The God Conversation. And it's how to have conversations with very practical illustrations, very simple read, over the topic of God and Christianity, The God Conversation. So maybe they could read a book, or perhaps the church once a year could have a 5 or 6 or 7 week Sunday school class and tackle the top 8 questions that people ask and give handouts so that people might not remember everything they learned, but they got a little handout, and if they get asked that question at work, they can say, you know, I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head, but I think I can get back with you next week and maybe help. Hmm. And then they go back and look at their notes from Sunday school, and that'll give them, embolden them, strengthen them.
That's good. Dr. J.P. Moreland is our guest here on Intentional Living today. One of those ways to get a little bit better is attending a conference, perhaps, that is geared towards defending the faith. And there's one of those happening in Tucson. So if you're in southern Arizona on February 6th and 7th, we've got some information coming up for that. And it's also on our website, on our highlights page today at theintentionallife.com. J.P. Moreland is our guest today. J.P., you have time for one more segment?
I would love it.
All right. We'll be right back with Dr. J.P. Moreland, Distinguished Professor of Philosophy, Talbot School of Theology, talking about defending faith. And I want to ask you, what is the number one question you are typically asked, and what is the number one question that bothers you the most when we come back?
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Do you think top 10 lists could make a difference in your life? Well, check out Dr. Randy's Intentionals. Go to theintentionallife.com, click on Inspiration, then click on Intentionals. That's theintentionallife.com. There's more coming up. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
If you've ever struggled keeping the events of the Bible in order, the new Intentional Living one-year chronological Bible is a must-have.
Take a fresh look at the Bible by reading it in the order the events actually happened. You can do it in as little as 15 minutes a day, too, using the unique daily reading that splits the Bible up into 365 sections.
Find yourself closer to God than you've ever been. Spend time in His Word every day with the Intentional Word one-year chronological Bible, available now at the online store at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
Hey, thank you, Kurt, and welcome back to the Intentional Living Center. Boy, I'm learning a lot today. This is really powerful stuff, and we're going to get back to that interview with Dr. J.P. Moreland in just a moment. I just want to say, if you have a friend who's a Christian and they struggle with this, wanting to defend their faith, not knowing how to do that, this would be a great opportunity to give them the call and tell them that this program, if they've missed it today live, is available for them in our archives. All they have to do is come to theintentionallife.com. Come to our website, and they can check it out there. If you'd like to join in this discussion, give us a call, 888-888-1717 for our storyline, or go to Facebook/Intentional Living. All right, let's get back to Steve Tanner as he continues a conversation with Dr. J.P. Moreland. And if you just joined us, he's a theologian who's helping us today to learn why we must be intentional to defend our faith. Take it away, Steve.
Thanks very much, Dr. Randy. Yes, Dr. J.P. Moreland is Distinguished Professor of Philosophy, Talbot School of Theology. He's written lots of books and teaching and just a lot of things he's done to advance the cause of faith. So much that we can't get into today, J.P., that I wish we could. We just don't have time. But we're really leaning in on defending the faith, apologetics, if you will. And I wanted to ask you, you know, you speak a lot, you write a lot, you teach kids in university and all those things. What's the number one question that you face from people when it comes to faith?
There is a handful of them, but if I had to narrow it down to one, it would be something like, how can you be so intolerant to be a Christian? Because Christianity makes you intolerant. You think you're right, and everybody else is wrong, and that's intolerant. And my response is to say that there are two principles of tolerance. There is an older version which says that if I'm going to tolerate you, I start with the assumption that I think your view's wrong and that my view's right. So now I have something to tolerate. And I think that you're wrong about something important, not that you think Burger King is better than McDonald's, because that would hardly rise to something I'd need to tolerate. So you start with the assumption that I think that you're wrong about something important, and that I'm right about it. I might not know for sure I'm right, but I think I am. But yet I'm going to be tolerant in the sense that I'm going to respect your right to promote your views and to teach them and to speak out on behalf of what you believe. And I will treat you with dignity as we dialogue. I'm not going to yell at you or try to put you down as a person. And so I respect you as a human being and respect your right, but I don't agree with you. The contemporary version says that you're intolerant if you say somebody else is wrong. Now, there are two problems with that version. The first is that it's self-refuting because people don't tolerate people who are intolerant. They don't tolerate people that actually think other folks are wrong. So they're no more tolerant than anybody else. They don't tolerate people who disagree with them. The second thing is that principle of intolerance, that you're not supposed to say other people are wrong, is deeply, deeply immoral because it silences the protest of evil. If you're going to protest against evil, like racism or human trafficking, you first of all have to make the judgment that it is wrong. Otherwise, you have nothing to protest. And if we're not supposed to judge that other people's views are wrong, then we cannot protest against evil. And any principle that implies that is deeply immoral. And so I claim that Christianity advances the old principle of tolerance, not the new one. But that's good because we wouldn't want to believe the new one.
He's J.P. Moreland, Distinguished Professor of Philosophy, Talbot School of Theology, also a prolific writer and speaker. He'll be appearing at an apologetics conference coming up in Tucson at Catalina Foothills Church. We have the information about it on our highlights page at theintentionallife.com. Reasonable Faith in an Uncertain World is the title of the conference coming up. That sounds like it'll be very interesting. So if you happen to be in southern Arizona, February 6th and 7th, you might want to check that out and find out more, again, at theintentionallife.com. And just very quickly, Dr. Moreland, this is probably an unfair question to ask, but I did tease it before, so I got to ask it. You talked about the question you hear the most. What about the question that bothers you the most?
Yeah. Why God is such a no-show in at times when it seems like it would be in his best interests and the best interests of human sufferers for him to show up. I've seen and know God heals the sick. I know God cares for people suffering and actually turns those things around. But I have to tell you, there have been many, many times where the church pray, you know, you pray for a parking spot and you get it, and you turn around and the church prays for a little five-year-old who's suffering horrible pain with terminal cancer. And you pray for him for month after month, and then he, not only does he die, but the pain wasn't alleviated. He suffered horribly, and God did not even step in to alleviate the pain. Those kinds of situations are very difficult for me, and it's hard for me to know what to make about them. The only thing I can say is that I do know that it has been true. I've seen it with my own eyes, that things do work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose if you get a long-term view on it. So I have seen evidence that that happens, and that, you know, gives me hope that maybe in this dark period right now where God seems to be a no-show, that he's going to work it together for good. The second thing is it may be that God isn't a no-show. He's working behind this. We don't know. So these are really hard things for me, and I have trouble sometimes figuring out where God is during these things. So I know that he's working all things together for good and that he probably has his purposes, but I got to tell you, they're very difficult, and those would be the toughest things for me.
I heard J. Vernon McGee once say, you know, God has his way in his universe. You may have a better way, but you don't have a universe.
Well, that's for sure.
J.P. Moreland, Dr. Moreland, thank you so much for your time today talking about just defending our faith and the need to be intentional with that. And we've seen through history what it means to not be intentional with defending our faith. And so it's incumbent upon we as Christ followers to do that and to pay attention. And as you said earlier, just get a little bit better about it. Which is take it a step at a time. We don't have to become a theologian overnight, but become a little bit better at it as we intentionally share and defend our faith. J.P. Moreland, thank you so much for your time today.
My privilege.
All right. Thank you. We're live back in the studio. Thank you, Steve and Dr. Moreland, for great content today. And again, just to remind you that Dr. Moreland is leading a conference, defending your faith conference for Tucson. So if you're in southern Arizona, you might check it out coming up February 6 and 7. And what a great way to be intentional with your faith. If you can, if you want more information, you can link to the details on today's broadcast highlights page when you go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. When you're there, you can click on to get to Facebook as well and join the discussion on this topic today. Does your faith need defending? I'm sure that you probably would agree that life can be difficult, right? It can be tough. And the challenges that we have, often we know of our own making, and sometimes we know that Satan doesn't have to do a whole lot. He just sits back and lets us mess up our own lives. But we live, I think, in the shadow of what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Because if it was good enough for Paul, it was good enough for us, right? Listen to what he says to us. He says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand." I mean, here's the Apostle Paul. And he says to us, after having this Damascus Road experience, probably unlike anything any of us have had, and going through the persecution and going through all the things that he's experienced in his life, Paul is reminding us that every one of us in our walk with Christ, we're going to struggle. And boy, that is so true. We all struggle if we're living our lives, aren't we? Every day, we have to be intentional in how we think and intentional in how we respond to others. And don't expect being intentional to keep bad things from coming your way, because they do. That's why living intentionally is so important. That's why this ministry is here. That's why we believe that we need this kind of voice on the air and in print around the world. And I want to thank our members for making it possible. If you're not joining us today, if you're not a member, an ongoing support, I would encourage you to come and join us today. Here's what happens. Your support every month to our nonprofit listener-supported ministry keeps this ministry coming your way. Every dollar goes to keep us going. When you order a resource, it helps us keep going. And then in turn, not only do we have the ministry available for you and others around the world, but you are an exclusive club, and every month you'll be receiving a CD teaching, a mentoring CD from me to you to say thank you for your support on teaching of living intentionally in Christ. Okay, that's our gift to you, and thank you. If you're not a member, come join us today at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Well, I want to thank Steve and again Dr. Moreland for joining us on today's program. And, you know, he made a good point about, you know, if you want to defend your faith and live your faith, you just have to do it. Sometimes you have to read a book that's going to encourage you. Get into God's Word. I encourage you to start reading the book of Ephesians, maybe one chapter every day for the next week, to start praying, start sharing your faith with others. Be intentional in the process. Good way to start. Hey, here's some programs coming up. We're going to talk about moving from fat to freedom. Our own Rob Regal here on staff has a great testimony. Getting your marriage unstuck and dealing with passive-aggressive people. All coming up here from Intentional Living, the days ahead. Thanks for joining us today.